revolved around pro wrestling. Welcome. This is the RSN Wrestling Podcast, the only three-man wrestling podcast going since 2015, where you can actually find our names, the first letter of our names anyway, are in the word wrestling, and they even go in that order, kind of. No. Okay. As I'm currently contemplating my life choice, because I basically just messed up the intro, but it is what it is. But in the rope series, three-man roundtable, without the actual table there, because somebody got put through it. I mean, to us. But yeah, I think I got a little bit of podcast rust. I don't know, but I am Nicholas Jason Lopez. You can call me NJL for short. I managed to run two websites. One's called Pro Wrestling Opinion. The other one's called The Music Bugle. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And let me throw it to my other podcast mates. The floor is yours.
What's up, guys? This is the big guy, Rich. I'm the R in RSN, obviously.
And I'm the N.
And we have the S somewhere. Yep. I don't know where he is.
Sal, the aka I'm the mastermind, the S in RSN. So yeah, of course we've been running what, 5 years now? So big
2015.
Damn. 5 years. So we've been running 5 years, we've been doing all these things. Oh, and by the way, I think Nick is a part of a website, certain website, right? Or matter of fact, he owns a certain website.
Sal, right? You know what time it is?
Come on, man.
It's story time. Tell me.
So, way back when, I always say this all the time.
You're gonna love the story, Nick.
Got to, man. I know, man. You're gonna get a pop off of this for sure. It's again way back when I used to go to school. You know, I would be sitting in class bored. And, you know, of course, I want to, you know, watch wrestling. I'm gonna have a wrestling fan.
Listen to this story.
Yeah, it's one of those things. You sit there and like, okay, you know, what can I do in class? You know, you're bored. You're like, shit. What do I do now? So the next thing you know, you just, you know, pop up your laptop and, you know, obviously you can't go over there and watch the show while the teacher's teaching. So me being sneaky little me, what do I got to do? I got to go ahead. I pop onto this website, Pro Wrestling Opinion. And basically right there, I see everything as is going on. It feels like, you know, when I'm reading it, it feels like I can picture it all in my head while I'm daydreaming when I'm supposed to be focusing in class. Again, kids, if you're in school, focus in school. But if you really need to be in depth with what's going on in the wrestling world, PWO, Pro Wrestling Opinion, three letters. And this man, Nick, is the architect or the person behind that. What'd you guys say?
Ooh, that could be another name
we
for him.
We could say another name, yeah. The architect, I guess, yeah. But I think we used that in 2015. Seth Rollins did it. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, if anything...
Fuck Seth Rollins, we have the real architect.
Yeah, the architect right here. The architect of PWO, Pro Wrestling Opinion. But yeah. But in the meantime, I mean, of course, yeah, like I said, I mean, I always go on that website. It gives you up to date, like it's minute to minute, segment to segment. It gives you a full kind of brief breakdown of what's going on in the ring and everything like that. All the stuff that's happening, even when you can't, you know, actually physically see it. But then when you get home, you see it, you're like, damn, man, I was really up to date with this. Wow. So, you know, I'm not left in the dust like everybody else. Like, oh, you know, I can't watch wrestling because of finals or whatever. Oh, bam, just right there. You listen, you know, you see everything right there. And then that's it, you know. Read it off how as it is, and it's playing around through your head, which is a great thing, you know? So, big ups to you, Nick. The Nick.
What else you could do on PWO?
Well, I think...
There's another thing you can do on PWO.
Yep.
If you're on your way to work, on your way to school, to your friend's house, whatever, you can actually listen to our previous podcast, because he has the links to our YouTube account, to all the 32 different platforms that we're on.
Yep.
So if you're driving to work, driving to school, on the bus, on the train, give us a listen on the PWO website. We have all our previous podcasts, such as the rise and fall of WCW, the rise and fall of ECW, Women of Wrestling, previous shoots that we had. Give us a listen.
That's a fact, yeah. Well done, man. The plugs. Keep them coming. The plug man right here, man. I'm telling you that. We got to start having new names for us going into 2021. But, I mean, anyway, of course, you know, This is basically a running the rope series where we go ahead and just break down all the stuff that's been going on in the wrestling world. You know, of course, there's been a lot of stuff that's gone on since, you know, I'd say probably for the summer. Now we're entering the fall. But I'd say, you know, there's a... Again, let me ask you guys this before we start this. We always talk about this as the show before the show, or I would say this is like the build-up before WrestleMania. For pre-WrestleMania, right? Yeah, this is like pre-WrestleMania. Wait,
SummerSlam is This is just pre-WrestleMania.
Pre-WrestleMania. But let me ask you guys this before we start. WrestleMania 37, do you guys think it'll still happen?
I think it will. Just somewhere where it's not going to be expected. I'm hearing two different locations.
What about you, Nick?
I mean, I can't imagine that they'll do the same thing that they did for 36 and 37. But watching the MLB playoffs are going on right now, and it's supposed to be in a bubble format. But I'm pretty sure for the championship series and for the World Series, they're going to be in front of, I think, 11,000 people. So they're going to do it in a stadium, with separated seats and pods and all that and whatnot. So, I mean, and technically, if you look back at AEW, they did All Out, you know, in front of fans, but, you know, everybody spaced out, stuff like that. So I don't know. It's still a little bit too far away to where I can't say that, you know, oh, this is definitely going to happen, or no, I don't, you know. It's still a little too soon to make that call, but based on how WrestleMania 36 basically took place during the height of the pandemic, at least over here in New York State, you know, where it pretty much ravaged through us for a good month and a half before things started calming down. You know, April 5th was still very, you know, a lot of people were dying back then. So even with that said, it seems like the virus kind of wants to start to make a comeback, because where I'm located and Rich too, I think we're all from Southern Brooklyn. There are certain
zip codes He lives in somewhere we don't give a shit about.
Yeah, fucking Queens, man. I wish I was in South Brooklyn.
No, you don't. Not right now.
Yeah, especially not now.
Parts of South Brooklyn are some of their positivity rates are kind of up there, and I know that they're just starting school up again. So, you know, it's like, can you really get back to normal without all these numbers going crazy or haywire? Not to mention the cold weather hasn't come yet. We don't know what the flu season's going to look like. Half the people are going to be down with the flu. Half the people are going to be down with COVID.
You might have people
who are probably going to get both. I mean, it's still too soon to say. But, I mean, the fact that the MLB is going to have the World Series in front of fans, at least 11,000, I'm not sure if it's going to really make a difference. But, I mean, it gives me hope that maybe WrestleMania will happen in front of this, inside of the venue. But, again, it's still too soon. And I would even bring up Royal Rumble, because if you've kind of looked at the last 3-4 years, Royal Rumble's kind of been treated as a WrestleMania of sorts. You know, they've been doing it at all these big venues as well.
Haven't the last like couple of baseball stadiums?
You know, stadiums and whatnot. So I think whatever will happen at WrestleMania, I think Royal Rumble, whatever happens with that, will be a pretty good indication.
Yeah. It's one of those things, I think, where it's like it's unpredictable. We don't know what's going to happen. And again, I think based on they recently, I think in Florida, as far as Florida, they opened it up for business, I guess. Now everything is, you know, business as usual. But again, it's always that whole thing where it's going to keep lingering in the back of our heads, like, okay, you know, we got to still be precautious, especially with the time that's being right now. So now I think the big question is, like, especially when it comes to theaters, events, public events, you know, concerts, that kind of stuff. How is this going to play out? And it's kind of hard to kind of see how that's going to play out now. Because now you have to basically base that around, okay, is it safe? Is everything in place to make sure that everything can be safe? Can you ensure that? Like, I think that's one of the big things. Because the moment they start bringing 10,000, 11,000 fans in there, even if it's just 100 people they bring in, the concern is always going to be, did you get, or were you in contact with somebody that had COVID? And then is that going to impact you? Because now it's like, okay, now it's a liability. It's like, oh, shit. you know, I'm going to enjoy a program, but, you know, oh, sure, I'll go to WrestleMania, but I don't want to have COVID. I'm not that, you know, crazy about going to WrestleMania, you know. But, again, it still brings up that question, what's going to happen now in the near future? I mean, we talk about this all the time, that WWE recently had a couple pay-per-views. Of course, Clash of Champions being one of them. And then we spoke about SummerSlam.
We actually had, like since you brought up COVID and Clash of Champions, we actually had a nice return a couple weeks ago leading up to Clash of Champions.
Yep, yeah.
Well, that big return?
Yeah.
Which, well, I thought it was a big return. A lot of people on the internet didn't think so.
Yeah.
Sami Zayn came back.
Zayn, yeah. One of the many returns that came back after that big hiatus. Pretty interesting. They just brought him back, yeah.
Yeah, what I'm actually loving this kind of go around, because if you looked at Sami's last run on SmackDown, basically he was just kind of treated as a chicken shit heel manager who was just kind of serving as the mouthpiece for Cesaro and Nakamura, which, yes, I get that. It's a good way to use him. But you know, it's kind of like the company forgot that he knew how to wrestle and that he could actually go in the ring. So part of me was wondering, like, you know, was WWE purposely keeping him out of the ring because he's so injury prone? But if anything about his last run has given me hope, it's that, you know, oh shoot, yeah, good things can happen when he actually wrestles. Who knew? So, I mean, even going back to this last episode of SmackDown, it's letting him go 15, 20 minutes in the ring, so it's a good sign. You know, as long as Sami can actually wrestle in the ring, you know you're going to get a quality match no matter who you put him in the ring with. And just be, like, it's just so funny seeing the way that SmackDown is kind of, it was... Earlier this year, January, February, it was very safe television. You know, the dog food and boss time and all of this like family friendly, corporate safe television programming that just had absolutely no heartbeat to it. And now we're at the place to where it's, you know, ever since the Roman Reigns heel turn and the whole Tribal Chief storyline, now you can actually look at it as a viable TV show. There's a lot of different things going on, but you know, the one thing about SmackDown that it has over Raw is that it kind of feels like it has purpose now, which isn't something that I really had with Raw ever since Heyman left it. But that's not his fault either. But it just has me wondering, because Heyman is involved, you know, with Roman Reigns, and I'm sure he's got some kind of creative say in that storyline, if he's influencing whatever is happening right now creatively. Because SmackDown right now is the better show. Raw has its moments, but it's still suffering an identity crisis. Now that I'm watching SmackDown, you kind of know exactly what you're going to get. And I don't know how long it's going to last. Yeah. I know the draft is coming up. That's why I'm kind of a little bit sad that, you know, SmackDown managed to get into this groove right as the draft happens. But I'm just hoping that whatever happens, you know, at least we moved on from this, you know, from SmackDown being the laughingstock of network television to, you know, all right, cool. I'm actually going to watch SmackDown now. You know, my Friday nights will be fun again.
Yeah, and that's a fact. I mean, they have this big deal with Fox, I think. And, of course, I think one of the big promises with that deal with Fox is the fact that they're going to release, you know, a lot of good content, a lot of good, I guess, you know, like, you know, viewer content to watch, you know, the things that will bring the Nielsen ratings up. But I think recently they were talking about how Nielsen ratings are basically, like zero now. Like, before, like, they were the thing. Like, you know, Nielsen ratings were everything about how the program was made and everything. But now it's, like, they totally just threw it out the window, and they're like, no, it's not just about, you know, Nielsen ratings. Now it's also about social engagement. And I mean, to add to your point, I think I know we're starting to see this kind of trend with SmackDown, where it was this whole, you know, family-friendly BS that was going on, to now, like, you know, this different captivating storylines, stuff like that. People wanted to tune in and watch, you know? Even if it's just Carmella being featured, you know, over and over in a, you know, in a repackaged promo or something like that, or Peyton Royce or some shit like that. It gets people talking on social media because now they're like, oh, wait, I know who the fuck that is. Oh, this is what's going on. Social engagement. So I guess that's what they're really succeeding in compared to Raw, where they're just...
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just doing, like, the Raw Underground. They're like, oh, that'll get people talking.
Raw Underground's a different story.
Yeah.
But I think it all starts with the storyline. One really great storyline could kind of change the direction of the show. And I'm not blind. I'm pretty sure this all started when Roman Reigns' heel turn, pairing him with Paul Heyman. That was pretty much genius. Yeah. And then you wrap the Usos into it.
That's
this whole kind of family conflict, tribal chief, Samoan island storyline that's kind of carrying the show right now. And I'm kind of happy that they're dragging this out a little bit more to the next pay-per-view. So I'm curious to see where this leads. I don't know if the Usos will eventually fall in line and join Heyman and Reigns and kind of have like a La Familia Part 2 kind of thing. I don't know who else they might throw in there. I'm also hearing reports that they might do Roman Reigns against The Rock at WrestleMania 37, which, you know, obviously that'll be a marquee match for many different reasons. But, you know, I've always said this, and Roman Reigns' character for the last... I've been writing about this since 2015, that, you know, just give him a little bit of an edge and people will follow. He kind of had that a little bit, but as the year's gone on, they just played it safe with him. Like, no... Like, he's at his best when he's intense, mean, and a heel. Like, people loved him during his show days. He didn't really do or say much, but that's just kind of the magic. So, to kind of see him kind of go back to, you know, kind of those kinds of days, except it's kind of an evolution of sorts. It's like a nature of progression. Now he's the top dog, and he's got Heyman at his side, and all these family conflicts going on. You know, it really makes you think.
Yeah, but who would have knew that's all Roman needed, just a heel turn? It took, like you said, it took years to do, but I'm happy it's done. I like heel Roman. And back to what you said with, like, a little stable, I can see Roman, the Usos, and probably Tamina in that little stable as the bloodline.
Yeah. I think we...
I mean, you could throw Tamina in there because I think she's technically part of that family. But, you know...
He's a cousin of them.
But you know Vince. Yeah. Vince doesn't factions, though.
La Familia worked for SmackDown back then.
Fuck Vince.
Yeah.
Vince has to realize...
Yeah.
The fans like stables.
You know, I think is also, this is a big thing, especially with this whole Bloodline faction. I feel like they can make something out of it for sure. Plus, if you look at their whole history, in the 80s, the 70s, the 70s and 80s, you know, the Wild Samoans, they were part of it. You know, you go into the 90s with The Rock, the 2000s, Rikishi, you know, you got freaking, you know, in the early to late 2000s to 2010s, you had Umaga. You have all these guys that are all Samoan that are from the same wrestling family, you know, just like the Harts. And you could do something with that. And there's just like, you know, they're not really executing it. But to see this is kind of like, okay, they're executing on it. Like, at one point, and this is one of the biggest things, too. At this last pay-per-view that they had, they actually gave one of the Usos a shot at the title. The tag team, a big tag team wrestler.
Into
becoming a new, you know, basically trying to make a new star out of that. They did that with Kofi. You know, of course, we kind of always ask, what happened to that? And it's always that whole thing, like, okay, what are they really trying to do now? You know, what's really their purpose now? I think really the best way they could do this is if they start bringing in more stars now. So I think, of course, they have a whole bunch of other cousins, too. They have, Jacob Fatu from, MLW. And then also, I think there was also another Uso, who was a younger, sibling of one of the Usos. Is that,
Braun, I think.
Yeah. So I think it's kind of like, you know, if they brought them in, why not, you know? That'd be pretty cool, too. I think he's wrestling in, MLW, too. But, you know, if they can bring these guys down.
The other one?
Yeah, the other Uso, yeah. The younger Uso, I think. There's like 50.
I'm curious to see how it evolves. But at the same time, I kind of like that they're taking the simple approach with this. Like, drag out this Usos versus Roman and Heyman thing as long as you can.
Yeah.
The goal is to get heat on Roman and kind of get people behind the Usos. You know, they've always kind of had an edge since their heel turn, but yeah, you know, they as time goes on, you know, the character can only stay fresh for so long. So with all the attention on Roman, you know, they're kind of getting a good rub out of it. But at the same time, like I said, I kind of like that they're taking the simple approach with this, because if you look at it, AEW is pretty much dominated by factions. So, they could do a whole family faction on SmackDown and kind of have them lead the way, but it's been done before. So it kind of has me questioning, you know, is that a smart idea?
Yeah.
I like it, to be honest.
I mean, compared to, like, all the other stuff that, you know, like, in 2015 when he was facing against Brock and this whole thing and, you know, oh, is he going to win the title? He was, like, the underdog. And, you know, compared to now, there's a lot of development there. I think really it's better. This is probably the best stuff that they've been doing since, you know. And, again, it brings that question. I think Lesnar, a couple of weeks ago, they announced that Lesnar is not with WWE anymore. So usually they would wait until the negotiations would go on, to the point where it's like, okay, even after the contract expired, they're still having discussions. But it's to the point now where Lesnar didn't sign a new contract. WWE's kind of wondering, okay, you know what? What are we going to do now? One of our biggest guys, which everybody, I think the fans would probably say otherwise, they'd probably say, let him go. Fuck it. We don't need him. We don't need a part-timer in WWE. But then it's kind of like, you know, there's a void.
The reason you're signing,
it's kind of like, who else do we bring in a connection to fill in that void? Yeah, it's my connection, bro. I mean, one of the big things is,
the fact
that there's a whole bunch of
fucking retribution, man.
But yep, I can feel that voice.
Since you brought them up, why not? Let's talk about them.
Why not? Let's talk about them for sure.
Do they have to?
Well,
I think it's retarded. I think it's just stupid.
The names are fucking stupid. The names are fucking retarded.
They did it 10 years ago and they did it better with Nexus. I'm sorry.
I feel like it's just Nexus. Yeah, it's just Nexus 2.0. It's just the core, whatever the.
I don't know. And I don't know what they want. I don't know what their goal is. But apparently, the easiest way to get hired is to deface whatever place you're trying to get hired by, just deface their property, and they'll sign you to contracts.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about their names. T-Bar, Mace, Slapjack. What the fuck are these names?
Yeah, they're good rappers.
Yeah.
It's probably like something from what's that movie called? Something Fury. I forgot. It's like I forgot what, like, movie theme. I forgot.
The TLC documentary.
No, not a TLC documentary.
Yeah, they got T-Buzz.
What'd you call it? There's like a famous movie. I forgot what it was called. It's skipping my mind. Fuck. It's like about a post-apocalyptic world, and you know, there's like people are, you know, using blood as like gasoline or something like that. Tom Hardy was just in one of the movies. I forgot what it was called.
I don't remember. But I hate the friggin' names.
Yeah.
I don't like the way that they got brought up to the main roster, to be honest.
Yeah.
I was expecting Dijakovic to have a real main roster debut.
Yeah. I mean, you have these. Yeah, I just looked it up. It's Mad Max. So I was talking about Mad Max. You basically have these people that are trying to look like Mad Max wannabes, trying to ransack WWE. And the premises, I think, just, this is an outside force. They just got WWE contracts all of a sudden, and they're mad for some reason. Which is kind of like, the fuck you talking about? You know, it's like, why?
It also kind of sends the wrong message too. Because if you look at it, they could kind of be, you know, they could be looked at as protesters, kind of the way that the protests have been going on in the country ever since the George Floyd murder. Sorry, the Brooklyn in me comes out sometimes. So it's just like, and you want to have these people who are kind of being looked at as protesters and renegades and whatnot, you know, demanding change. You want them to be the bad guys? Wait, what? What's the story here? So, I mean, how they're booking this thing, it's almost as if they're paying no attention to mainstream news. This is the kind of thing that would make people angrier at their product if they don't already like their product.
Yeah.
And I don't see a good payoff happening for this at all. At least based off what I've seen, there's nothing redeemable about this at all. You potentially have five careers in your hand that I don't know where this is going to go. But, you know, the journey isn't looking so fun so far. And I don't know. I mean, I would ask the question. If you had the chance to book WWE programming, how would you book the rest of this Retribution storyline?
I think...
How would
you
do it? Going, leading up to Survivor Series, obviously you're probably going to have Retribution versus the Hurt Business.
Which is bullshit.
Which I don't, to be honest, I don't mind.
But then
I don't mind it. Yeah, I don't mind it either. I kind of like the whole heel. I like heel versus heel matches, but I also
like,
think
my only question,
it's a little confusing because it's like Cedric just turned and joined them, and it's like, all right, yeah, they want us to boo them, but like they're taking on these renegades, all these bad people that they're painting as heels. So it's just like, oh, are we supposed to root for them now, or are they tweeners?
Like,
I don't quite get it.
But, like, my only question leading up to Survivor Series, if they do that, you know how they always have the champions face each other?
Yeah.
Like, the NXT champ versus the Raw versus SmackDown?
Yeah.
They have the IC versus US versus North American?
Yeah.
Are you going to double book Bobby?
I think I'm...
Or are you going to have him drop the title?
That made me think, like, what are they really trying to do with this whole Retribution? It feels like they're just trying to... They're trying to shy away from having the traditional SmackDown versus Raw versus NXT, like, you know, kind of vibe, or, you know, like even a SmackDown versus Raw vibe. They're trying to get away from that, I think. They're just trying to make this like any other regular ass, like, you know, Survivor Series. Like, oh, it's just two teams, you know? But that's like if you look.
I like the three teams.
Yeah,
I
love that. I love
the
three brands. I love that concept. When you brought up the three brands, SmackDown versus Raw, that was perfect. But. Now you brought in Retribution. It seems like they're trying to shy away from that. Like, no, we're not trying to do that again this year. So I feel like if they're
gonna, or you're gonna have SmackDown and Raw versus Retribution.
It's probably just gonna
and
be
just
like SmackDown.
Bring in 30, and just bring in 35 more members of Retribution.
Yeah, it's like some other shit like that. I don't know. And then at the end of the night, it turns out that NXT was part of Retribution or some shit. I don't know, man. It's like. I don't understand.
I would hate that.
It
would hate that so much.
Oh my god, it would be the worst.
That's why I'm saying the way that they're booking
that sounds like?
Retribution. Yeah. It's like they
shouldn't mingle. NXT. I think NXT as its own brand is perfect. Independent is great. The moment that you're trying to go ahead and
get you just sad sound. You know what that sounds like?
Yeah.
It sounds like a Vince Russo writing.
That is Vince. Yeah, I'm telling you, man.
Oh, NXT is actually the whole Retribution. Shut the fuck up, Vince Russo.
I know, I'm like, what the fuck, man? If they did that, that's the most stupidest thing ever. That's why I look at this whole Retribution thing as like, it's a ploy for them.
What they should do is, if they want to do at least one match of Survivor Series or Retribution, do, was it three guys in Retribution or four?
I think it's five now.
Five.
It's five guys?
That have been introduced. They still have like 20 other members.
Yeah, they tease. They're like,
but it's five main members, right?
Yeah.
Three males, two females.
It's Mia Yim, Chelsea Green.
No, it's Mercedes Martinez.
Oh, Mercedes Martinez. Oh, really? So Chelsea Green was really.
It's Mia, Mercedes, Dijakovic, Dio Madden, and Shane Thorne. So it's three guys, two girls.
Yeah.
If they book Bobby to do that triple threat mid-card title match, you have MVP, Cedric, and Shelton, and you throw two random girls in for Raw, and you do a 5-on-5, three male, two female match. If you want to do a match for Retribution, I can see that working.
But then what happens with the whole women's title picture? Like, if you see Raw right now and SmackDown, with SmackDown
you
have
still you still have the women's title matches.
Yeah.
But you just put two females who aren't getting, like, TV time, but you want to push in the future. So you could throw in Liv Morgan and...
Well, they just brought on Mandy Rose.
Don't win the titles.
What about like
Mandy? Two females.
Yeah. Well, they just brought on Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke as a team. Which, I mean, what do you guys think about that? Like, with that?
That's a weird combination to me.
That is a weird combination.
It's a weird combo. I mean, I like the fact that she was paying tribute to Stratus.
That was just brought together right before the show. It seemed like.
Yeah, that was like literally the same day. They were like, okay, let's just put it together, and then they're gonna have Natalya team up with her next week. It's like, come on, man. Like, there's no. Like, you know, there's nothing that's really... There's, of course, knowing WWE, there is no continuity with anything, as we always complain about. So...
Well, I mean, this is... And again, I brought up this point already, but, you know, this still is my lingering question with Retribution. It's like, all right, take the Nexus, for example. When they came up, they attacked John Cena, they attacked everybody at ringside. It was clear what their mission statement was. Make an impact, you know, force themselves to be noticed at the top of the card. And it was like, yeah, you know, that was kind of booked a little bit wrong towards the end, too. I think they should have won at SummerSlam or Survivor Series, whatever event it was, instead of John Cena, you know, being Superman. If they could go back and rebook that, I'm sure they would have went the other direction with it. But everybody in that group more or less turned out okay in the WWE world. But with Retribution, we don't know, you know, we don't know what they want. It's like they watched the Dark Knight Rises a couple of times and were like, ooh, yeah, Bane is such a cool wrestling character. Like, I still don't know exactly what they want or how they plan to get it or what they're going to do or how they're going to do. Yeah, I get the unpredictability factor, but at the same time, there's also a cringe factor as well. And right now, they're bordering more on cringe, you know. I'm finding myself groaning whenever I see them pop up on the screen because I'm not liking what they're doing. And I don't like I said, I don't know if there's any redeemable really way to book them the way that they're going now because of the way that they've been brought up. I don't know where things are going. I really don't want to see Retribution and all these Survivor Series matches. I just write them off and just repackage them or have them come out as how they would have been in NXT. Like, NXT was, like, their characters were perfect in NXT. You didn't have to repackage them like this.
Yeah. Well, here's one of the things, too.
Dijakovic is basically a star in the making, and he's got the body type and height that Vince likes.
Yeah. Oh, without Dijakovic is a superstar in the making.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I mean, it's getting a lot of momentum.
I don't know why they needed to do this Retribution storyline. And like I said before, with all the protests and everything going on, you really want to have people kind of represent this, you know, demanding change and protesting and this and that. Yeah, like I said, to have them kind of be looked at as the bad guys, it just tells you exactly what Vince McMahon sees right now in the mainstream media.
Yeah.
It's a little bit wrong, in my opinion.
He's in his own hermit kingdom, I think, really. It's just like, you know.
He's in his own world.
Yeah, he's in his own world, just doing his own thing, just WWE work, that's it. He doesn't pay attention to any of the media or anything like that. And it's really sad because back then, you know, there was writers that actually had, like, you know, some sense of knowledge of what's going on in the world. Okay, how do we replicate that? And, I mean, you guys thought, I mean, Rich brought up Vince Russo. I think we all say Vince Russo is a piece of shit, but honestly, at the same point, at least he was in tune with what was going on. I mean, that's what you can respect out of writers. But yeah, but then still, you know, he's still an asshole. But I mean, here's one of the things too with this whole Retribution angle. Recently, they just found out that it was a whole bunch of NXT people and people that were in the PC that tested positive for COVID. So it's kind of like now, you know, you have all these NXT guys being brought up, but the problem is they've been in contact with people in the PC that had COVID, and now they're, you know, in the main roster.
Back, I think, right?
Yeah.
Oh, so Monday's actually going to be a good episode of Raw.
We'll see. I mean, leading with this build-up for the draft, and here's what really scares me. What if they did something with Retribution where they just fuck up the whole draft? Like, let's say... Oh, my God. But then if they did something like, let's say, like, okay, they did all these draft changes and everything like that, but then all of a sudden they just scrapped it and said, okay, you know what? You know, SmackDown Raw got to reunite, so we're going to have this whole brand initiative back again, you know? Like, oh, let's bring on people, and then totally disregard the draft. That's what I'm really disappointed at, because if you look in the past, they've done that. They did that in 2011. They did that, I think, way, way back. I think they did that in 2010. They did that, like, all that time, and they just, like, fucked it up. They totally just disregarded it and said, fuck it. Let's just have a fucking brand exchange. Like, oh, it's all good, you know? Which is kind of like, come on, man. Either stick to one to the other. Either you're going to have a draft or you're not. Commit to it.
You guys mind switch over to the other company? The other Wednesday night company?
AEW, man. We got what do you think about NXT AEW right now?
I think they're both putting on really excellent shows.
Yeah.
It's just, for whatever reason, AEW is just, it just has the bigger audience. It has the bigger reach. But, you know, maybe less people watch NXT because, you know, they could always catch NXT later. AEW is live, you know, they don't really encore it like they used to. So your one and only chance, really, to watch Dynamite is what live as it happens.
I'm thinking
NXT's availability of being on the network, you know.
The second way you could watch AEW, though, if you have the TNT app, you just log into your cable provider and you could rewatch it.
People aren't going to want to do all that. They want to go the easy route, whatever involves less work, you know?
Yeah.
And for someone like me, you know, I wouldn't want to have to go through all that. You know, I'd rather just watch it live as it happens.
But I
can't question the quality of the product because, you know, everything is clicking, everything's on point. You know, NXT never really had this issue. And AEW, you know, they continue to turn out good stories. And, you know, when I watch both of those programs, it's obvious what the highlight of the wrestling week is. It's just based off how things are. And long term, I don't know how it's going to go or where, you know, how long this Wednesday Night War thing is going to last.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it's been beneficial for both people. But Vince McMahon is not a patient person, and it's only a matter of time, you know, the NXT can only lose the ratings war for so long before something drastic happens. Yeah. That's just my worry.
Specifically,
I have a question for both of you guys. Because I know we covered her in the past very briefly, but with this coalition with Vicky Guerrero and Nyla Rose, where do you see Nyla going now that she's with Vicky?
She was good on her own. They didn't really need to put her with Vicky. That's just my opinion.
No.
Yeah, I think it was just she was probably good at as her on her own. You know, it's like, you know, why go ahead and just prepare her up with Vicky when it was like, I guess it was this kind of thing where it's like they have all these talents that were former WWE talents, and they're like, okay, we can either put them as backstage, like as a commentary, or let's just put them as a manager. Which again, it's kind of like you're just going ahead and creating that trend. There was no need for it. I think she's good on her own, you know? Why bother?
Or you could put her with somebody, you know, kind of just like her, like a Britt Baker, you know, put her in that whole Reba, Britt, you know, Swole kind of storyline. I think you could have got more out of that. You know, Nyla is somebody who has proven herself in the ring and, you know, her character didn't really need a manager, so it's just like, I don't think it's helping her in the long run. When you have somebody like Vicky, who's known as being like a loud Karen type of heel, she's like the OG Karen if you really think about it, except she was the manager, so. But it's like, when you have somebody like that, it's best when you put them with people who are just like them. And, you know, thinking of the women's division, you know, loud people, you know, loud heels, you know, it kind of fits Britt Baker's thing. And, you know, just, it doesn't take much. You could just say, oh, you know, she became Vicky's new dentist or something like that, or she's giving them free dental appointments or whatever. You know, it didn't really take much. But, I don't like the Nyla Vicky pairing. It just doesn't do anything for me, personally.
Yeah.
The reason I'm asking, because I was talking to one of my friends. Shout out to Jasmine for actually making me bring this up in the podcast. So, our first shout out to a fan. She was bringing up the fact that she thinks Vicky could actually lead a stable.
How many more stables can we have in AEW, though?
Why not? Why the hell not? I mean, here's one thing that I applaud AEW for, is the fact that they're, of course, in tune with what's going on in the wrestling world. They recently had this thing with Orange Cassidy and Jericho, a debate thing going on. And at the same time, there was an actual debate going on, a presidential debate, within the same time period.
Bro, you know, that segment was gold.
Yeah, that was a really good segment. I mean, on top of the fact, it was trending, you know, that whole presidential debate. Not to be political.
I mean, technically MJF had a whole presidential campaign gimmick going on for like a couple of months, so it's nothing new, really. But
the
I mean,
Cassidy one, they had the perfect person to moderate it, also.
Yeah.
Who else but good old Eric Bischoff?
Why not? Let's bring him back.
And it's been, what, 20 years since he was on TNT?
Yeah. And he did, I think he did some other things with AEW also. I think with Cody and, I think it was Cody and Jericho, I think, yeah. It was like a signing or something, and he was part of that too, I think. But now it's good to kind of see, again, I think what really made that segment good was the fact that it was, of course, the timing, what was going on, just like the MJF segment, but then also at the same time, the relevance of it. There, you know, there was this debate that happened, people spoke about it, and then a day, like literally a couple days later, there was this segment that they had, which correlated with that. At the same time, social media engagement, right there. Everybody's talking about it.
Another high point of that, no one expected friggin' Orange Cassidy to throw that out. Mm-hmm. No one expected that.
Yeah.
But just think, he became a superstar overnight. Mm-hmm. That was amazing. Yep. Orange Cassidy is definitely the future of the company.
Definitely.
All the other young talent that's 26 years of age and younger.
Well, speaking of that, we got another veteran that came into AEW also, Miro, or that way let's call him Rusev.
Correct. Say the right name, the best man, Miro.
I think it's great, but why the fuck did you have to dye your hair blonde, man? I don't understand that.
Cody did it, so why not?
Cody,
it's a different look. I like it.
I think Cody can do it because it's Cody, but then this is just like, you know, you could just, I mean, he could just be a bald Rusev.
Cody
cool.
Looks weird with the black hair.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the look he always had.
It's just, it's been so long since we've seen it. That's why it looks weird. It's been three.
He has the black hair looked longer than the blonde hair.
True.
That's true.
From 2007 to like 2017, he was.
We were there when he debuted the blonde hair at Final Battle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, then here's the thing too. Like, here's what I gotta ask you though. So speaking of Miro, right, or Rusev, he went ahead and did this whole thing. Did a 10-year stint in WWE. Became big on Twitch, and then you know he went to AEW. What do you guys feel about this whole thing with Twitch and everything? Like Twitch, and supposedly Rusev made mad money with Twitch. And you see people like, let's say, like Ryback, they're making money on Twitch right now, like crazy.
A whole bunch.
Yeah.
The Paige, Zelina Vega, who else? Who else do I follow on Twitch? Zelina Vega, Paige, Zack Ryder's on Twitch. You have so many wrestlers on Twitch.
Yeah.
Because when they aren't on TV or when there's a lot of downtime,
mm-hmm.
what do you do? You play video games as a wrestler.
Really?
I think it's stupid that Vince wants to take over everyone's Twitch account. I think it's stupid.
Especially with, like, Cameo. I think Cameo is kind of like... Cameo is like... Is like OnlyFans, or is it just, like, a virtual meet and greet?
This is my take on it. I think it's just another example of Vince McMahon trying to exercise his power. But at the same time, I'm trying to think of, from his perspective, you know, they're making extra income from, you know, something that could be looked at as kind of a likeness of the personality that they show on television.
Yeah.
Depending on who it is. So, it's like, yeah, just imagine, like if they were being, like, their WWE character on a separate platform, you know, and making money from that. You know, not really knowing what they're saying or something like that. And, you know, he's an out-of-touch old man, so it probably doesn't take much to upset him. That's probably what he thinks is going on.
Like, no, see what Cameo is just say for your birthday, I know your... Who's your favorite WWE superstar right now? Just give me an example.
Like AJ, let's say. AJ Styles.
Okay, so just say AJ Styles is on Cameo. And... get you an actual birthday gift. I go to Cameo, mm-hmm. I give him your email address, mm-hmm. and he sends you a birthday message from me.
Damn, that's pretty crazy.
So it's basically a video shout out.
Right.
It's nothing wrong, to be honest.
But then I think, but then you can also say that. I think really why Vince is doing that is probably because he saw Rusev do it, and he's like, you know what, you know, when these guys leave, this is what they have on us, you know. So it's kind of like they're trying to go ahead and protect themselves from all this.
Okay. I mean, we live in a streaming age, you know, a live streaming age. So, I mean, yeah, I'm not sure if it's about that. I don't even know if they do it for the money necessarily. I think it's just to have an escape from that, you know, kind of monopolized WWE, you know, corporate company mindset, you know, that that's pushed people out of the company, like, you know, like CM Punk and, you know, other people who have criticized their toxic workplace environment. You know, it's kind of, I guess it's their escape almost. So it's hard to really tell, but, you know, I just, like I said, I think it's just Vince McMahon doesn't fully know what Twitch is or how people use it. I think he just sees this as his employees making extra money using their likenesses, you know, that they,
like third party,
how they are on WWE television without him really seeing it for himself.
All legal then. It just becomes a legal issue then. That's really where it's at. But I mean,
yeah.
But then also, I mean, it kind of brings up that question. I mean, of course, you know, he's got to protect his interests. That's what you got to do sometimes, you know, like, you know, you're trying, that's the cost of doing business, you know, like it begs a question, like what happens with, let's say, like, for example, with Xavier Woods, he has his own channel. He's been doing that for years.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Up, up, down, down is okay.
Because I think he had a deal with...
I mean, WWE probably sponsors Up, Up, Down, Down by now.
But it's on the network.
Yeah.
Yep. And even like, let's say, Tyler Breeze. Tyler Breeze has Left, Right, I think. They're trying to build something with that, you know.
No. Basically, what Left, Right is he was making fun of...
Like a parody?
He was making fun of Xavier Woods for a couple episodes. It's not a real thing.
Really? Damn.
Yeah.
But they filed
it. He said it was because they're so close, mm-hmm. him and Xavier, that he had to make fun of it.
Damn. But then also they filed, and it came to the point where they started filing copyrights for these things. Like, they filed copyrights
for that. He wants to make merchandise, that's why.
Yeah.
That's the, he wants to make t-shirts.
True. But then let's say, like, for example, in the case of Arn Anderson. I don't know if you guys have seen this. Arn Anderson filed a complaint, I think, or he tried to do a trademark for the Four Horsemen.
Cody's lawyer put in a copyright claim for it.
And you know WWE, they're gonna be like, "Oh hell no! Like, we're not using this name, but oh, now we're gonna use it because you know you brought it up."
Cody's guy gets shit done, so I wouldn't be surprised if it gets approved.
They could probably do something with that for sure. I mean, it's kind of like, again, it becomes a whole legal thing, and then between Vince being petty, he's gonna try to get whatever he wants. So. Might as well, you know?
Technically, Vince never even owned the right to it.
Yeah. It's actually established from before. Yeah. I think Ric Flair had the same thing with the Man copyright, with Becky Lynch using it and stuff like that, and it was like, wait, you know, Ric Flair was the one doing that in the 70s and, you know, the 80s. You know, you guys can't say that, but then they're like, oh, well, you know, Ric was part of WWE and all this other stuff, and it was a likeness and all this other bullshit. Again, it becomes a whole... issue of copyright and illegal issue. It's a clusterfuck. It is, definitely. But, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, again, where WWE will try to do anything to try to get the extra money, but then it's also like, you know, they also have their own propaganda kind of machine, I would say, in a sense, where it's just like they'll go ahead and tell their side of the story, but they won't go ahead and, you know, acknowledge anybody else or anything else that's going on, you know?
Yeah.
I think we're also... Did we cover everything? We talked about AEW... WWE.
Yeah. Only thing we didn't cover was Impact, but like Kurt Angle with his son, Jason Jordan.
Yeah.
We could forget about it.
We could forget about it, yeah. Well,
I had to bring that up.
Yeah, with Impact, come on, man. There's this thing with, what was it called? I forgot what was it called. It was for, I think, early... something really early fucking happened. I forgot what it was called. It was fucking happened recently, I think, from way back. We talk about Payback. We talk about, of course, Clash of Champions. What are you guys' thoughts on this whole
thing? The only thing we didn't talk about was the breakup of Kenny and Hangman and the possible heel Elite stable again.
Yeah. And what about NXT TakeOver? We gotta talk about that too, I think.
Actually, I think this is gonna be a good TakeOver tomorrow.
TakeOver? Again, it kind of... Well, what do you guys think about this whole, this mystery gimmick going on with this, you know, reveal of, oh, this is old person, you know. I don't know if you guys seen those segments. It was like a vignette with this guy saying, oh, you know, I'm coming back for NXT and all stuff. And
I'm hearing Bo Dallas.
Yeah, I feel like it's Bo. But again, it's kind of like, again...
Nick, what do you think?
It probably is Bo. I mean, he's a callback to the early days.
Everyone's going back down to NXT also.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. They're not really doing anything with him now anyway, so he's pretty much...
Honest, I forgot he was still employed.
Yeah, so him and Curtis Axel, I thought, I was like, wow, like, are they even still with the company? Which is kind of like, yeah.
I thought they were employed with the company, to be honest.
Yeah. I thought they were cut out like everybody else, but it's interesting. Do you guys feel like this is basically Bo using his, you know, his AEW, like, I guess, you know, trying to go to AEW? Because I think there was also a rumor that a lot of talent were trying to go to Impact, which is kind of crazy. It's like, really? Like, I think Heath Slater said in an interview where I think they were trying to go ahead and go after, like, they were saying that there were some wrestlers that he was in contact with that were like, oh, you know, they're ready to make the jump to Impact.
Impact's on the rise.
It is, yeah.
They've been on the rise.
Yeah. But I think it's also...
So now it's actually, like, out there. It's actually doing well.
Yeah.
Well,
it's always kind of been like that.
Yeah. It's...
They just kind of got overshadowed by AEW, because AEW's got more financial backing.
Yeah. It's kind of like, again, like, if they can go ahead and just, you know, it's kind of like, again, they're trying to put their foot in between two different eras. It's kind of like, okay, let's go ahead and go back to where we were back in, like, the 2000s, and then let's go ahead and just, you know, stick to new stuff. But they're kind of doing it. I mean, recently they had Katie Forbes and RVD leave, and then a whole bunch of other people leave, and, you know, leaving back and forth and stuff like that, going to AEW, going to, you know, different companies. So, you know, it's hard to say exactly what's going to happen from now. But, yeah. I mean, nonetheless, we spoke about everything here going on pretty much in the wrestling world for the most part. Again, you can also check us out on PWO, Pro Wrestling Opinion. Got to give that shout out for you, Nick. But then, Nick, you got to tell us what's going on with PWO.
Basically the same stuff. I'm going to try to get back into watching some older wrestling shows, maybe bring out a few reviews. I'm not too sure. Right now, I kind of got my hands full with my other site, The Music Bugle, which anybody listening, you like music, you can discover new artists, check out new music videos, upcoming singles from everybody in all different genres. It's pretty much all there. We just hit 25,000 hits like a couple of weeks ago for Music Bugle in 2020 alone. So things are growing, you know. A lot of eyes are looking at the site, which is always a good thing. But yeah, that's just pretty much been it. But still watching wrestling. You can always follow me on Twitter at Nick Jason Lopez. You can follow me on Instagram, Nicholas_Jason_Lopez. And also on Facebook at Nicholas Jason Lopez. You can also like the Music Bugle and Pro Wrestling Opinion on Facebook as well. Just search the name, type it in, hit like, and I'll do the rest for you.
Definitely.
And I'm Sal, do you want to bring up our Twitter and Instagram?
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, I was just about to get to it, yeah. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Me and Rich, we go ahead and co-run that. Also, the Facebook page. But then also, you can find us on all our different platforms. If you go on our Instagram page, there's actually a bio. In our bio, there's a link where it goes ahead and tells us all the different platforms that we're on. We're on things like CastBox, Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. I think recently we were on Backtracks FM, and also I think Owltail, a couple new platforms. Again, we're still keep trying out different podcasts. You can find us pretty much everywhere. In the car, you know, at home, you know, you're playing something, you're working out, whatever, you know, you can always go ahead and, you know, hear us out, all the different episodes that we had. And again, we have some other new content coming up soon, so definitely stay on the rise for that too. But nonetheless, this is the RSN Wrestling Podcast. This is the Mastermind. You got the Big Guy Rich and
see you guys out.
The Nick Lopez as well.
Out. Adios.
See you guys.